The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Tired of the negative news and flash over substance? It's time for Today with Dr. Wendy. Dr. Wendy Patrick is a trial attorney, patriot, and PhD with a passion for people and a penchant for politics. Dr. Wendy brings you the headlines, streamlined news you can use. It's time to be informed, engaged, and entertained. Now, here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Today with Dr. Wendy. I'm Wendy Patrick and my co-host Larry Dershman. I have a great show for you tonight. Now, I have to say, we are blessed with just a wide variety of exciting, innovative, and inspirational guests. And tonight is absolutely no exception. Larry, who is our first guest on the line?
Yeah, I'll start it this way. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the highest ranking Jewish elected office holder in the nation, said in publicly delivered remarks that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has bowed to the demands of extremists and has lost his way, and Israel ought to hold new elections to remove him from his leadership position, as if Bibi and Israel take marching orders from a U.S. senator. This is, as former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer put on social media, one of the most disgusting speeches ever given in the Senate. To bring us up to speed on all this is online opinion editor, commentary writer, and host of Bold and Blunt podcast for the Washington Times, and one of our favorite guests, Cheryl Chumley. Welcome to the program, Cheryl.
Hi, guys. It's great to be with you.
Hey, Cheryl, you've got an absolutely great resume, and we're just astounded by everything you've done. But one of the things that I think is interesting is I understand you spent more than 4 years serving as a CASA volunteer, court-appointed special advocate, to help judges make those difficult decisions about where abused and neglected children should live. That has got to be a heart-wrenching assignment. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it is heart-wrenching, right? So court-appointed special advocates are charitable volunteers who, we don't get paid or anything. What we do is we go into and work with the social services system. And when a child is placed in a foster family's home for possible adoption or reunion with the biological family, CASAs go in once a month and visit with the child and make sure everything is going according to what the game plan is supposed to be for the child's best interest. And then we report directly to the judge. So it was heartbreaking work, but it's really important work. And if anybody is looking for a volunteer organization to put your time or money to, I highly recommend the CASA group.
Wow. Hey, Cheryl, on October 7th, 2023, Hamas, a designated terrorist organization funded by Iran, engaged in an unprovoked massacre of Jewish citizens. This was the largest loss of life in one day of Jews since the Holocaust and was basically Israel's 9/11. Doesn't Israel have a right to defend itself? And why do you think the UN and the Biden administration is trying to prevent Israel from eliminating the threat of Hamas once and for all?
Yeah, it's maddening, right? So to answer your first question, of course Israel has the right to defend itself. And if the roles were reversed and it was America that had been attacked on October 7th, we wouldn't be taking marching orders from Benjamin Netanyahu, right? So the hypocrisy there is strong. And as for why this current administration, this current Joe Biden White House, along with the global governments, are pressing for Israel to bring about an immediate ceasefire, whether or not Hamas releases the hostages, right? It's purely political. And here in the United States, Joe Biden's polls have been falling for years, really. But in recent months, we've seen the rise of this group that's come forward in heavily Arab-populated areas in America, calling themselves the uncommitted. And what they're doing is they're basically swearing off voting for Joe Biden unless he demands Benjamin Netanyahu bring about an immediate ceasefire. And so shortly after the rise of these uncommitted, that's when you see Joe Biden pressing really hard, harder than normal, for Bibi to slow his roll on rooting out and killing Hamas terrorists.
You know, along those lines, as far as like the things that the Biden administration is pushing, what do you think of this so-called two-state solution that is being pushed so hard by the Biden administration?
Well, first off, I know from talking to people in Israel that the whole two-state solution to Israelites, to the Jewish people, whether they're politically left or right, is dead. It's no deal, because October 7th opened the eyes wide on those of even leftist-leaning slants, those who had spent the last few years helping the people in Gaza, helping Palestinians, and they felt betrayed, and they saw the evil for what it was. And they themselves say a two-state solution is dead. So that's in Israel. But outside of Israel, you have these leftists, the Democrat Party, the globalists, and so forth, pushing this so-called two-state solution, which is a great talking point, right, to those who don't know the history of Israel. They don't know the history and context of the Jewish people. And what it amounts to for the Jewish state is a death warrant, right? A two-state solution basically means that Israel has to bow down to the terrorists who want to eradicate them from the face of the earth and pretend like they can form peaceful treaties with them. It defies logic, and it's a complete deception.
Cheryl, in World War II, the organized church did not, to my understanding, stand up to protect and advocate for the Jewish people. It was only a few heroic individuals such as Corrie Ten Boom, Oskar Schindler, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer who rose up to resist the evil of the Nazis. In your book, Socialists Don't Sleep, Christians Must Rise, or America Will Fall, you hold out hope that Christians will wake up and take back our country before it's gone forever. Considering what the Christian church failed to do in Germany, do you still have hope that the American Christian church will wake up and reverse our slide into tyranny?
So when you're talking about the failures of the church, right, during the Holocaust, you're talking specifically about the Catholic Church.
Right.
And to liken the Catholic Church to all Christian churches it is not really accurate. Because in the Christian religion, right, there are so many different types of churches and faiths and so forth. So they're not all Catholics. But second off, there's a very large distinction to be made between the church and those of faith, right? So
right.
When I wrote that book, Socialists Don't Sleep, Christians Must Rise, or America Will Fall, I'm talking specifically about believers, about those who follow Christ, not necessarily pointing to any church as being better at doing that above another, but just those of faith in America.
Yeah, you know, Cheryl, along those lines, you know, you talk about all the information you share. I know you've also done so in a number of popular books that you've written. I mean, I've got the list of titles here, Police State USA, The Devil in D.C., Socialists Don't Sleep. I don't know how you brainstorm these titles. They're very catchy. How would be the best way for people to get copies of some of these books?
Oh, thank you. So, you know, they're sold anywhere books are available, but you can go directly to my own website, CherylChumley.com, and I've got the links to all four of my presently published books there, along with the endorsements and what some, you know, really smart people have said about them, giving me kind endorsements and so forth.
You know, Cheryl, it's good to know that you're a Christian as well as Wendy and I are. You know, it says, this is kind of an interesting observation, I think, in Genesis, I think it's chapter 12, verses 2 through 3, what talks about Abraham, the Lord said that I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of earth shall be blessed. And my big concern, I don't know, maybe you feel the same way too, is I see America slowly but steadily turning its back on Israel, kind of separating itself, our best ally in the Mideast by far. Are we in danger of doing that?
You know, you go back in time a few years, right? And people who read their Bible, people who understand the Bible, they know that one of the signs of end times, Revelation, right, is when all the nations of the world turn against Israel.
Right.
So in Christian churches, churches that teach prophecy and so forth, all eyes are on Israel. And just a few years ago, you asked most Americans, will America ever turn her back on Israel? And most people would say, no way, that would never happen. Well, isn't it astonishing when you look at the rhetoric coming forward from this White House under Joe Biden, just exactly how far down that path we've actually gone? So when you ask me if we could ever get to the point of turning against Israel, first off, we know it happens because the Bible says it. But second off, you know, we're getting awfully close to that right now. I feel as if this administration is in rhetoric right now, and by a UN resolution they just put in demanding a ceasefire, which is more than rhetoric. It's, you know, in text now. I feel as if this administration is getting very close to that moment in time. You know, we're almost at the end of the show, but I want to say, you know, you've brought some really amazing insights into some of these issues. If you had a crystal ball, what do you expect is going to happen sort of in a nutshell with this conflict that we keep hearing so much about? Perhaps less now than when it first began, but when do you think the end is going to come?
When Donald Trump is elected.
I agree. Well,
yeah, no, that's a really good observation in terms of what a lot of people think about the ability to get along with other world leaders. You know, it's such a split of opinion. It depends on what side of the aisle you're on. But we want to thank you for sharing some of the kind of the insider's view of this conflict, which really differs from a lot of what you see on mainstream media. You know, I always tell our listeners, consume media from a variety of different sources, from a spectrum of sources, so you're able to then get the information to sift through. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
You are terrific. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you. And to our listeners, don't touch that dial. We are coming right back for the second half of Today with Dr. Wendy. We'll be back in a flash.
News cycle lowlights have no place here. You're listening to the headline highlights on Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.
It's time for more news you can use. The headlines streamlined. It's time for more Today with Dr. Wendy. Now here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. Wendy. This is Wendy Patrick, and my co-host Larry Dershman and I have a terrific second half for you. Larry, we've got another fantastic guest on the line. Who do we have?
Dr. Matthew Kronig is the Vice President and Senior Director of the Atlantic Council's Scowcroft Center for Strategy and Security. In 2022, he was appointed by the U.S. Congress as a Republican commissioner on the Bipartisan Commission on the Strategic Posture of the United States. He previously served in the Department of Defense and the intelligence community. Dr. Kronig is also a tenured professor of government and foreign service at Georgetown University. And he's held fellowships at the Council on Foreign Relations, Harvard University, and Stanford University. He holds an MBA and a PhD in political science from the University of California, Berkeley. That's where I went. And the co-author of Dan Negrea, they've just come out with a new book called We Win, They Lose, Republican Foreign Policy and the New Cold War. Dr. Kronig is going to shed some light on this groundbreaking strategy for securing victory in the new Cold War with China. Welcome to the program, Dr. Kronig.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I think the most interesting thing about that introduction was the fact that Larry Dershman admitted having gone to Berkeley.
Yeah.
You've got to be the most conservative person I know. But you're right. Berkeley is just a bastion of intelligence, which I do agree with. And I think it's wonderful that we spin some of that to actually help understand the issues. I love the title of your book, We Win, They Lose,
Republican foreign policy. I'd love to hear, with your illustrious background, what you think as an expert in this area about Joe Biden's foreign policy.
Well, I think that Joe Biden is doing his best and wants the country to do well. But I think my co-author and I have been disappointed with the results. If you just look, we have a major war in Europe that started during the Biden administration, a major war in the Middle East. We have the southern border being overrun. And we're not doing what we need to do to deter China in Asia. Tensions are rising there. So, again, I think they're doing their best, but the results have been disappointing.
You know, Russia's war in Ukraine has entered its second year. But is Biden's Ukraine strategy working? And how would Trump, his administration, handle these issues that's facing the Biden administration today?
Yeah, I'd say a few things. One, Putin attacked Ukraine under Obama and under Biden, didn't attack during the Trump administration. So I think the Trump administration did have a more effective deterrence against Putin. Second, the Biden administration hasn't yet laid out a clear strategy for victory in Ukraine. You know, it would have been wonderful if days after the war started, Biden had given a major primetime address saying, this is why Ukraine matters to you. This is my strategy. Support me. He didn't do that. And so I think he's rightly being criticized for what are we doing. And this is an area where I think there is a division within the Republican Party. An overall argument of our book is that the party is united. But here I think there is a real division with some like Mike Pompeo saying give Ukraine everything it needs to win on the battlefield. Others like Trump saying he's going to negotiate an end in 24 hours. So I think that just given where the battle is right now, it is kind of in a stalemate. It's hard for me to see how Ukraine wins outright. So I do think that aiming for some kind of ceasefire along the current lines to bring the violence down is probably the right strategy.
You know, I love the fact that you're actually weighing in as somebody that knows what you're talking about. It is just so refreshing. Everybody wants information from credible sources. I think that's a bipartisan passion. And everybody also is very compassionate and wants to see the right things happen within this war, which is now 5 months old. We hear that Iranian-backed groups continue to conduct attacks on U.S. interests throughout the region. I'd love to know your view along those lines as to whether Americans' Middle East strategy is working. And then here's the second part. You love the time constraints when we're recording. Is how would a Trump administration handle these exact same issues?
Yes. Well, one of the central themes in the book is this idea of peace through strength. This is a label that Reagan adopted. Trump also adopted it. And so the idea is that when it comes to security and defense policy, the United States should be so strong that our adversaries don't dare challenge us. But if they do, we need to hit back hard to restore deterrence. And I think we saw that Reagan was willing to do that against Iran in the Middle East. When Iran attacked a U.S. Ship, Reagan sunk several Iranian naval vessels. I think we saw that Trump was willing to do that as well when an American contractor was killed by an Iranian attack. He retaliated by killing Iranian General Soleimani. And I think that worked. In both cases, the Iranians backed down. I think the reason we've had so much conflict in the Middle East is that the Biden administration, in my opinion, has been too cautious. The Iranians have been supporting Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis. They've been conducting attacks against international shipping, against U.S. bases. And the Biden administration has been unwilling to hit back hard against Iran. And so I think Iran's taken that as a green light to continue the attacks. And so I do think a Trump administration would have a tougher approach. They called their Iran strategy during the first administration a maximum pressure strategy. So I think a second Trump term would return to a maximum pressure strategy of increased sanctions and military pressure to get Iran to cease these destabilizing activities.
Dr. Kronig, what do you think is the biggest security threat against the United States today? Is it China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, or something else?
Well, it is China. And if you just look at the power that China has, China has something like 18% of global GDP. compared to the U.S.'s 25% of global GDP. So we're still stronger, but they're getting close. Russia has less than 2% of global GDP, so less capacity than Spain or Italy. And so that just constrains their ability to do damage. So China is the biggest threat, and it's a comprehensive threat. There's an economic dimension, a technological dimension, a diplomatic dimension, a military dimension. Part of the problem is these adversaries are increasingly working together. In the book, we talk about this new axis of evil with China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea working together. And in fact, the collaboration among these four powers is already greater than the collaboration among the Axis powers in the run-up to World War II. We all know what kind of damage Hitler and Mussolini and the Japanese emperor caused. And so I am worried that by these four autocratic powers working together against the United States and its allies, that we are entering a dangerous new period of world history.
You know, a new dangerous period of world history is a common theme that we hear, sometimes by both sides, but I think we interpret those words very differently. One of the examples is President Biden claims that climate change poses the greatest threat to national security. Many conservatives disagree. What are your thoughts on the topic?
My co-author and I also disagree, and we have a chapter on climate. The climate is changing. That causes some challenges, but it's not an existential threat. It's not an acute or immediate threat. It's a problem to be managed, and so it doesn't make sense to take extreme measures to deal with it. Also, the measures we need to take should be based on market principles, should be gradual. We don't want heavy-handed government intervention that's going to make the problem worse by cutting off energy supplies, raising energy prices. The other important point we make is that the United States is not the biggest part of the problem. China now is the biggest greenhouse gas emitter. And so if we're going to make progress on global climate change, China has to be part of the solution. But they're really a bad actor in this regard. While the United States is already cutting its greenhouse gas emissions, China is promising to increase its emissions for years into the future. And so it doesn't make sense for the United States to take costly measures to constrain its own economic potential to fight climate change when our major adversary is not doing any such thing and continues to pollute as it grows and uses that economic growth to invest in military power to threaten us and our allies.
You know, we touched on this earlier in the program with another guest, but I wanted to get your take on this. Israel is our greatest ally and friend in the Middle East, yet it seems like we're kind of separating ourselves. We're trying to force elections over there. We're actually called for Bibi Netanyahu to basically be taken down or taken out of office by his own people. How do you see that whole thing playing out as far as our pressure on Israel versus Hamas and so forth?
Well, I give the Biden administration credit for their first few days after the October 7th attack. Their initial instincts were exactly right. Israel's our closest friend and ally in the Middle East. They've just suffered a horrific terrorist attack. And so initially, Biden said that he has Israel's back, and that was the right policy. Unfortunately, we've seen that change over time to where now the United States and the Biden administration are putting pressure on Israel not to finish the job against Hamas. When you're fighting a fire, you don't put out 80% of the fire. It doesn't work that way. They need to finish the job against Hamas. And then certainly you don't call for, the beauty of democracy is that we allow our own people to choose their own leaders. And so it's inappropriate for U.S. leaders to tell Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu that he should step down or that it's time for a change. It's not for us to decide. It's for our good friends and allies in Israel to choose their own leaders.
You know, we're at the end of the show. We just love speaking to you. Can you tell us the title of your new book one more time, and where's the best place for folks to get a copy of it?
Well, always happy to tell people that. Thanks for asking. The title again is We Win, They Lose, based on a famous Reagan quote about the first Cold War. So We Win, They Lose, Republican Foreign Policy in the New Cold War. It's available on Amazon, and it was the number one new release in international relations on Amazon. So a lot of interested readers out there, and encourage you to pick up a copy and give it a read.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We very much enjoyed the conversation. And thank you to our listeners. We are wishing that you have a wonderful, blessed week. You're listening to Today with Dr. Wendy, and we will be right back next Saturday, 6 p.m. Have a great week, and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for Today with Dr. Wendy. You can learn more about Dr. Wendy and how to become a guest or sponsor of the show by visiting WendyPatrickPhD.com. That's WendyPatrickPhD.com. Tune in every week at this same time as Dr. Wendy will engage and inspire you with an upbeat viewpoint on the highlights of the day. This has been Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.